We last week left off in the middle of Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, and we were discussing, we discussed several halachos that the Gemara thought would be the kinds of halachos that one would teach or study before getting up to Daven, halachos that don't require a great deal of penetrating analysis. They're not what we call ion. I discovered, you know, the way the Gemara presents it, it's that, you know, these are halacha psuka. Everybody knows there's no debate about these particular issues. I noticed an interesting formulation in Rabbeinu Yonah. He was concerned about the issue that I raised. And he writes, describing what halacha psuka means, he says, not only is there no debate about it, so you're not going to get involved in thinking about which side of the debate is correct, but on top of which he says, that v'neresh etzarech gam kein shalotia, the word is chamura, I don't know if that's the, there's a star on it, but I don't have the commentary in my edition. It can't be particularly complicated. Sha'af al pishe machlokes b'psach, even if there's no debate about how you passed it, hi chamura lahavin osa, if it's difficult to understand, if it's complicated, yeshlocho shema yachshuba b'shas tfilah, he's going to be thinking about it during davening. You just studied a time, you just studied an yeshivos. Of course, your mind is going to be preoccupied thinking about another tzad in Reb Chaim, another approach to the Nesivos. So Rabbeinu Yonah was sensitive to that particular point. So what has emerged in the Gemara then is that we seem to have what looks like possibly two opinions of how one is supposed to prepare for tefillah. Possibility one is what the Mishnah says, which is that ein omdim l'shala only koch koved rosh. You have to be in a serious frame of mind. You can't be in a state of levity when you begin to daf. And the Hasidim HaRishonim, which seem to have meditated, they seem to have spent time before engaging in tefillah, in a sense, to put themselves in the right frame of mind. And yet the Gemara, the Braisa that we just quoted, the Tanu Rabbanan that we just read, says that ein omdim l'shala lo mitoch din, v'lo mitoch davar halacha, lo mitoch halacha psuka. So the way one is supposed to prepare for davening is, in effect, engaging in some type of halacha psuka before. So there does seem to be a kind of attention. And this the Gemara picks up on and says, in the place that we stopped last week, it's actually the line before the two dots. After the Amoraim explain what is halacha psuka, giving examples, the Gemara says the following, Rabbanan avdei kemasnisan, Rav Ashi avid kebarais. The Rabbanan, I presume the Rabbanan of Rav Ashi, they used to follow the Mishnah. What does that mean? So Rashi says, kemasnisan mitoch koved rosh, from a sense of solemnness. And Rav Ashi avid kebarais, that's what we have in our Gemara, Rav Ashi avid kebarais, the Rashi explains, mitoch halacha psuka. So these are two approaches. One approach is that we should all, when we daven, we should don't, I don't think too many of us do this. I don't know anybody who does, but I'm sure there are people who do, is that you should step into shul 5 minutes before. And if you want to engage in the chachamim's position, then you should sit there and try to kind of let go of everything. And if you want to follow Rav Ashi's position, so then you would, you pick up one of these halacha sarim that would just give you, bottom line halacha. You don't have to think too hard, but kind of put you also in the right, in the correct frame of mind. And that is the way we have our Girsa and our Gemara, and that is Rashi's explanation that followed. There are actually a couple of different approaches in this Gemara. Before I talk about them, I do want to read the next passage in the Gemara, and then we can try to put some of the pieces together. Tanu Rabbanan, right after two dots. Ein omdim l'shala lo mitoch atzfus. You don't get up to daven not from sadness. So remember, the opposite of the kovid rosh is not sadness. Kovid rosh is seriousness. So you don't get up out of a state of sadness. Lo mitoch atzfus, not when you're like you're feeling schleppy, lazy. Lo mitoch schok, not out of levity. V'lo mitoch sicha, and not from conversation. Rashi says leitzanus. I think we know what leitzanus is. We need what's a good English translation for leitzanus? Sometimes it's cynicism, but I don't think that's what it is. Leitzanus means like Narishkeit Batala, something like that. I'm not sure what a good translation is. So not any of these. Velomi toch kalos rosh, which is the opposite of a dishma. Velomi toch dvarim b'teva, not speaking about idle matters. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, from the joy of a mitzvah. Now, this is would appear to be, in effect, a third opinion, unless you assume one of two things. Well, firstly, if you assume that simcha shel mitzvah could be the same as halacha p'suka, because you study through halachos and you're feeling good, and you've done a mitzvah, wonderful. Now, the note also that the Braisa does also say, lo mitoch kalos rosh. In other words, it effectively says the same thing as the Mishnah in that line, that ein om demisal o mitoch kovod rosh, which is the opposite of kalos rosh. The question one has to ask about all of these things, is there really a dispute here? Are there two or three opinions? Or are all of these things, in effect, more or less work together with one another? In other words, kovod rosh and simcha shel mitzvah and halacha p'suka all establish the same kind of mood or the same kind of frame of mind. I mention that on the surface, the Gemara would appear to assume that there is a machlokes, at least between the first two opinions, the Mishnah, which is kovod rosh, and then the first braisa, the Tanur Rabbanan, that says mitoch halacha p'suka. But if you take a look at Tosfos, Dibur Amas Rabbanon, it's the fourth Tosfos. V'kava sayhu kaimalad. Now, when I read this line, and this is a very hard Tosfos to read, and it's a very short Tosfos, but there's something confusing in that. V'kava sayhu kaimalad would suggest that we paskin like the Rabbanon. V'lochein, ein mispalin mitoch kalos rosh usoh. Ela mitoch kovet rosh v'simcha shel mitzvah. But rather from kovod rosh and the joy of mitzvah, which you'll notice, by the way, is as we have the girsa, the next braisa, kegon she'asak b'divrei Torah. For example, if one engaged in words of Torah, that could be halacha p'suka. V'lochein nahagu lomar p'sukei b'zimra v'asrei kodem tefillah. So there's a ton to unpack here, but let me start with, without talking about the last line in Tosfos. Let's talk about how Tosfos is paskening. So in my Gemara, there's a note on V'kavasayu Kaimalan, because as I said, Tosfos seems to be paskening. He says we follow them. Them would seem to be the Rabbanah, not Ravashi. And then Tosfos turns around and says, you only daven mitoch kovod rosh, and simcha shel mitzvah. And he gives an example of the Divrei Torah, which is halacha p'suka, which is all of them. So, there's a little note in my Gemara that points me to the Maharshal in the back of the Gemara. And what the Maharshal says, he says on Kavasayiv, he says, Kirabonon uchiravashi, which is very bizarre, but what he's picking up on the tension in Tosfos, he says Kavasayiv, when Tosfos says Kavasayiv, it doesn't mean the Rabbanon. It means like everybody. We do everybody. It's a smorgasbord. We take all these opinions and we mix them together. He says Rabbanon and Ravashi. Although Tosfos is actually also including the braisa that follows, there are really three sources here. Now, so at least Rashi, I think, very clearly reads the Gemara as we have the text printed very simply. He's ignoring the third braisa, but Rashi says the Rabbanon did like the Mishnah, kovod rosh is your point. And I would say, if I were ignoring Tosfos, I would say kovod rosh means some type of meditation or an attempt to sort of step away from the world and be focused on tefillah. Whereas halacha p'suka means somebody gets up and gives it bar halacha. That it may be a different way of sort of emptying one's mind of everything else that's going on in one's life. One way of doing it is by sort of actively trying to empty it through some type of silence meditation. And the other is by inserting in some very simple Divrei Torah, halacha p'suka, so that drives everything out, and that's an appropriate segue to tefillah. Both are kinds of avodas Hashem. Now, that's the way Rashi read it. Two very different approaches. Tosfos tries to meld them together. But that is all with the girsa that we have in front of us. Now I want to continue in the Gemara just a little bit further. The Gemara says, V'chein, so this is about four or five lines after the colon. V'chein lo yipater adam mechavero. Not only should you not stand up to daven, but when you leave a friend, you're parting, you're saying goodbye. I don't assume, you know, I don't assume it means that, you know, when I leave Shear on Sunday and I'm saying goodbye, so if one of you steps outside and is walking with me, that I need to tell you another Devar Halacha, whatever the Brice is going to say. I think it means I'm not going to see you for a long time, right? You're going off for a year abroad. I'm not going to see you. I don't know the next time I'm going to see you. So when we're parting for potentially a long time, the Brice says, Lo yipater adam echaveir lo mito sicha. Let's say the same, that's the same as sicha before. Velomitoch tov, velomitoch kalos roch, velomitoch varam metelim. Ela mitoch. Now here's the problem. Our Gemara says dvar halach. The only problem is the previous line in the Gemara was said. We begin this section by stating v'chi. So as we just told you, when you get up, when you stand up to daven, when you begin davening, you do it mitoch simcha shemitzvah, not any of these other things. Then when we say v'chein lo yipater adam echavero, presumably what the Gemara should say, the Brisa should say, v'chein lo yipater adam echavero ela mitoch simcha shemitzvah. It should be the same thing. You're making a perfect analogy, which is why the Vilna Gaon, I think you should all have this in your Gemara if you're looking at the regular shas, that little bracket of alf, the Vilna Gaon hagos hagra right, if you look on the right side, ela mitoch dvar halacha, he says rishom kav al tevas dvar halacha, put a line through or on top of dvar halacha to erase it. V'nimtza betzido, or it may be rushum kav, a line is written on top of it. V'nimtza betzido simcha shemitzvah. In other words, he's basically substituting what the Gemara should have said based upon the previous price. So just as in on the masala, you're only begin davening through you're coming out of simcha shemitzvah. Same thing when you leave your friend. And in fact, if you look in the Rush, and I believe the Rif, they actually have this Girsa, but they have Simcha for both of these. They don't have Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And then, the next line is Shekein Matsinu Benevim Harishonin Shesimu Divrehem Bedivre Shevach V'Tanchonim. And similarly, we find, so again, what you have is Shekein Matsinu. So an analogy is being made. That the Nevi'im, and many don't have the word Rishonim, finish the words, meaning they finish their books, with words of praise and comfort, meaning things that are happy. And we're not done yet. We're going to talk about that also. And then, as we have it in our Gemara, V'chein Tana Mari Berei D'Rav Huna Berei D'Rav Yirmei Ba'aba, Al Yipater Adam Echavero Ela Mitoch Divar Halacha, Shemitoch Tach Zochrei. When you leave your friend, when you're not going to see him for a long time, so you tell him it's Dvar Halacha. Why? Because he'll remember the Dvar Halacha. And when he thinks about the Dvar Halacha, he's going to remember you. But you think about it when you give, you know, someone, you know, if you think of what is a ring? I mean, I'm sure there are many symbolisms for a ring. But if a person wears a ring, let's say a married person wears a ring, so every time they see the ring, we hope that they're going to think about their beloved. That's what you would expect. So here, I'm not going to see you for a long time. I tell you, I give you a heart. I tell you a Dvar Halacha. And now, whenever you think about that, you encounter something, and you remember Dvar Halacha, you remember me. Okay, so it's a way of strengthening friendship. Now, the problem in our Gemara is we have, in effect, four statements that are chained together, but they don't all read the same. In other words, you can't, ain't omdem l'spala alamitoch simcha shomet. And similarly, you don't leave your friend elamitoch dvar halach, which, as we said, the Gra chain. Hold that for a second. And similarly, we find in the Nevi'im HaRishonim finish their books on happy things, happy themes. And similar, Mari Bar Brei Rav Huna taught that you're supposed to only leave your friend mitoch dvar halach. So this is sort of like, nothing fits together. It's totally incoherent. If I could reorder the Gemara, I could make more sense of it. So the way the Gra handles this, and this is going to be based upon, I believe, the Rifts and the Rushes here, so, is as we saw, he takes out the word Dvar Halacha by the Aleph and he substitutes Simcha Shel Mitzvah, or maybe it's just Simcha. So then the first two are identical. Ein Omdim L'Shalel. And V'chein L'Yipater Adam Echavero, davening and taking leave from your friend. And then similarly, we find in the Nevi'im and their books on happy notes. And then the Gra, on the letter Beis, right before the word V'chein Tanam Reid Tana Mari Braid the Rav, Huna, etc. So you look at it a little bit, he puts the word Vachain in parentheses, and he says, Tuf Zion Mem. Does anybody know what that stands for? I'll guess. I'm pretty sure I know what it stands for. Teva Ze Mechuka. This word should be erased. In other words, cut out the chain. So now everything makes sense. In ondem les palel, elamitosim chashamitzvah. V'chein ha yipater adam echavero, elamitosim chashamitzvah. Shekein masinu b'divrei nevi'im harishonim shesimu b'vrem b'divrei sheva p'tanfum. Period. Full stop. Next is, Tanam reid rahuna bay, etc. Why? Because the Braisa presents a different angle on how you depart from a friend, how you take leave of a friend. Now, maybe Simcha Shel Mitzvah or Simcha and Advar Halacha could be the same thing, but they're not on a literal level the same thing. So that's why the Gra takes out the word of the same. Okay. So firstly, before we go back and talk about putting the pieces together, taking a look at the riff, I wanted to just spend 2 minutes, especially since Tisha B'Av is coming up and we're going to encounter Eicha. And, next Rosh Chodesh, we're going to have a, not this Rosh Chodesh, but the following Rosh Chodesh is going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So we're going to read the last chapter in Isaiah. And as you know, Eicha ends on the words, Ki im ma'os me'astanu, kotsasta olenu ad ma'od. Because if you have been repulsed by us, you have gotten angry at us forever. Now, when the person reading Eicha on Tisha B'Av reads that pasuk, we don't end the Megillah there. Why do we end? Well, how do we end the Megillah? Everybody repeats, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu v'kedem. Why? Because Ki ma'os ma'asanu katsafta aleinu ad ma'od is not the happiest ending in the world. We don't like to end on a down. Or, when we read next month, Rosh Chodesh Elul, when we read the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and we read the last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 66, and you get to the last verse, and it says, V'yatzu'u v'ra'u, they will go out and look at the figreho anashim haposhim bi, the corpses of people who rebelled against me. Kiso latam lo samus, because the worms will never die in them. The isham lo sechban, the fire burning them will never go out. By you, they will own the whole basar, and they will be some terrible remembrance for all of humanity. Not a very happy ending. So what do? We say v'hayom mi dechodesh b'chadsho mi dechavas b'shabato yavo chol basar l'shavoch l'shachnos l'tanayim arshim. We read the second to last verse again. We actually do this in 4 different places. I learned this from my Rebbe, Rabbi Leibel Dulitz, Hareini Kaparis Mishkavo. He drilled into, amongst the various words or mnemonics he drilled into us, one of them was known as Yaskak Simon. Yaskak, that's 4 letters, Yud, Tav, Kuf, Kuf, are the names of the 4 books of Tanakh that we repeat the second to last pasuk, because the last pasuk is kind of crummy. So Yaskak is Yeshaya, Treyasar, Kinos, and Kohelis. Right? In Treyasar we repeat, and at the end of Kohelis, we repeat, so these 4 particular books that our minhag, these Yaskak books, that our practice is to repeat, would seem to run against the Gemara's idea here, that the Nevi'im concluded their words with Divrei Sheva'ach v'Tanchumim. So if you take a look in Tosfos, the second to last Tosfos on the page, Ibar Amasso Shekin, he says, Umaksha biyushalmi, chutz mi Yirmiya. What about Yirmiyahu? And so, the Gemara talks about actually Sefer Yirmiyahu. I don't want to talk about that. That's not even on our list. But then, biyushalmi says, v'haksiv in Eicha, is also written by Yirmiyahu, ki ima osma astanu. So the Yerushalmi discusses that particular issue. But Tosfos says, "Miumai, who pried the soap tray also to Koheles, lo parach midi." We don't ask questions when it's spoken at the end of Koheles and Treyasar. Shechoshko b'tov b'divrei Tanchumim lo ma'iri b'kronis Yisrael. When we read at the end of the Malachi, when we would read, how does it end? Veshiv leiv avos al banim veleiv banim avosam. And avo vehikesi kala arech seira. Right, which is the way we don't want to end the sefer. Lest I come and destroy the entire world. The Tosis thinks that that's not the punishment of the Jewish people, that's the punishment of others. And when it comes to, Koheles, ki al kol ne'elam yovi elokim b'mishpat, I think I'm getting it wrong. Yovi b'mishpat al kol ne'elam in tov imra. So Tosis says that's not about the Jewish people, somehow that's about others. Certainly you could read the end of Isaiah that way. Some of the other Rishonim point that out. So the truth is, it requires a little bit of stretching to see how all of the prophets finish their words with Divrei Shavach v'Tanchumim. But putting aside how you want to understand the Gemara, at the bottom line is that we try to remedy that particular difficulty by when we have things that we read in the Tzibur, and the last verse is not so charming, we repeat the second to last verse to ameliorate the situation. Okay. Anyway, yes, Isaac?
Yeah, isn't there also the Gemara in Tzibos, I think the last daf talks about when people are being buried, they're bringing their bodies to Eretz Yisrael, and somebody's complaining, and I think the Gemara also tries to talk about something positive.
You have a few places in Shas where I think the editors just stuck on something at the end, like, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Olam. So it does happen that way. There are a few places in Masechtos where the end isn't so happy, somebody decided we need to stick on something. It might be the end of Yevamos is also like that, I think. Doc did it not so long ago, so yes. Now, I want to first spend a little bit of time just to see how else the Gemara might be read, the flow of the Gemara. I want to take a look at the Rif for a moment, so I'm going to have to bring it up on my screen and share it with you. And then I want to talk about Psukei Dezimra and a number of other laws that the Rif actually cites here. And here I want to just make a comment. If you remember last week's shiur, we went off on the long digression on the issue of music today. Music in a post-destruction era. The reason we did it is because the riff here goes off on a tangent. Now, this is not uncommon, and I think I'm sure I've said this at least once before in the course of my years teaching the Gemara Shir. But normally, when you are looking for the riff, the halacha in the riff, so if we're learning the fifth parak in Brachos, you go to the back of your Gemara, and you look in the riff, and that's where the riff will quote whatever he quotes. He won't quote what he quote. He will not choose to quote what he chooses not to quote. And that may tell you something as well. And that's how you know what the riff's position is. And generally speaking, the Rush, even though the Rush is Ashkenazi, and he may often reject the Psach Halach of the riff, he follows the riff's commentary when he creates his commentary. Often, if you, instead of going to the riff first, you go to the Rush in the back of the Gemara, and the Rush goes off on this long tangent of something that's not in the Perek. I don't want to give a percentage of times, but very often it's because the Rish did. Now, what the Rish sometimes does, even though if we were to jokingly say what the Rish really did, was he took a copy of the Gemara out of Bar Ilan, put it into Word, and just cut half the text away. He cut out most of the Agadic material, he cut out most of the Shachna Vitaria, and he was left with just the Halacha Psuk of the Gemara. Now, obviously, that's an oversimplification because the Rif had to choose. And the Rif sometimes does have expansions. He will quote Kaonic material. He will quote different opinions. What the Rif also sometimes does is when a halacha is in the wrong place in the Gemara, he will quote it in the right place. So we're going to take a look at the Rif, but one example that the Rif will quote here is how are you supposed to gesture when you daven? Which way are you supposed to be directed? And there's a Gemara in Yevamos that anybody doing daven, it's I think daven called Dalid. The Gemara in Yevamos has a debate whether or not you're supposed to be looking upward or downward when you daven. We'll read it in the Rif. The Gemara quotes two opinions, and it quotes a compromise opinion. That halacha happens to be found in Yevamos, whatever reason. It's a tangent there. Where does it really belong? The answer is it belongs in the fifth parak of Brachos, and Ein Omdim L'Sal. The fifth parak is about how do you daven. It could have been either the fourth or the fifth parak of Brachos. So what did the Rif do? The Rif doesn't quote it in Yevamos, because it doesn't belong there. Not Hilchos Yibum. The Rif instead quotes it in Brachos. And the Rif at the beginning of the fifth parak has collected any number of things, mostly related to tefillah, although last week it was related to the Agadah, that you're not allowed to be memale shchok piv ba'olam hazeh. The Rif quoted the whole idea of having joy in a post-korban period, etc. So here the Rif is going to quote a whole series of dinim, which are related to tefillah, that don't have, that actually aren't necessarily either in Maseches Brachos or in one particular place in Maseches Brachos. And the Rif quotes them here. Now, some of you might have wondered, and I probably touched upon this on, so one more comment. If you want to know where the Rif quotes halacha, turn to the back of the Gemara. However, what happens if the Rif quotes a halacha in the wrong place? He quotes a halacha not in the Masechta where it's found in the Gemara, but let us say in the Masechta where it belongs. How are you going to find it, and how are you going to know? So the answer here is that very handy-dandy commentary on the top outer margin of the page, known as the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, which I've occasionally pointed out to you. If you want to know where the halacha is found when the Gemara has an issue, and you want to know what the halacha is, you want to look up the Rambam, or you want to look up the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, or you want to look up the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvah's Gadol. So you look in the commentary, the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah will tell you. Now, he normally doesn't tell you anything about the Rif, and the reason he doesn't tell you anything about the Rif is because you just look in the back of the Gemara. However, if you had a case, now I think I got the wrong place, I don't remember where it is, that Gemara that I just quoted to you in Yevamos. But if you were to look in that Gemara in Yevamos that talks about where you place your eyes, what you would see, I believe, is that the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah will tell you, for the halacha, look in the Rif and Brachos in the fifth parak. Because in this particular case, it wasn't quoted in the place that you expect it to be. It's not in Yevamos, but rather it's where it belongs in Brachos. But you wouldn't know that if you're learning Yevamos, and therefore the author of the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah is kind enough to tell us where it is actually located. I wish I could find it very quickly to know where he. Thought it was Daf Kofalad in Yevamos, but it's near the end. But wherever it is in Yevamos, so I believe that the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah will point you to Brachos. Okay, so and one other note before I bring up the Rif, which is Tosos that we read before says, because there's an idea of the Omei L'Shalom Mitol Simcha Shel Mitzvah, we recite Psukei Dezimra and Ashrei before Tefillah. Okay. Now, when does Tefillah really begin? What is the beginning of Tefillah? In Shachris. You come to Shul. So you walk into KJ, and KJ they start at Rabbi Yishmael. They don't say Brachos Ab. And then they say Psukei Dezimra. And then on Shabbos at the end of Psukei Dezimra, we say a very long Yishtabach, which starts with Nishma. And we finish Yishtabach, and we say Kaddish, and then we say Baruch Hu, and then we say Birchos Kriyashma, Yotzer Or, Havaraba, we say Kriyashma, we say Emes V'yatsiv, and then we daven after Gal Yisrael. When does Tefillah begin? Now, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam has Hilchos Tefillah begins with the Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu, after Yishtabach. Psukei Dezimra, strictly speaking, is a midas chasidus. It's not really mandatory, although we treat it as mandatory. Really, tefillah starts with the Kaddish before Baruch. So where does Psukei Dezimra then come from? So that's what the Rif is going to talk about. I suspect the reason he talks about it is precisely the reason why Tosfos points out that Psukei Dezimra is really a preparation for tefillah. Psukei Dezimra is to put you in the frame of mind, to put you in the emotional state, so that you are ready to daven. Davening begins with the Kaddish before Birchos Kriyashma, which in many ways Birchas Kriya Shema, as we've explored previously in the Masechta, are not so much Birchas HaMitzvah, they're almost really part of Tefillah. And proof to that is that when can you say Kriya Shema until the end of the third hour? When can you daven until the end of the fourth hour? If you missed Zman Kriya Shema, let's say you just said Kriya Shema earlier, but you need to say Birchas Kriya Shema, how late can you say Birchas Kriya Shema? The answer is, till the end of the fourth hour, just like Tefillah. So, in certain respects, Tefillah begins with Baruch Hu and Birchas Kriya Shema. So now, let me pull up for us the riff. Give me one moment. I want to just get up in my Bar Ilan. Let me hold on. Share my Bar Ilan that I can pull the riff up. Okay. So now, I'm going to go to the riff. Is the screen readable? Okay, good. So the riff, after quoting the whole music section that we read last week, says the following. He quotes the Gemara that we just did, the Halacha Psuka, and then he says the following. And pay careful attention and see how this compares to our Gemara. Rabbanon avdei kemas nisan. The Chachamim did like the Mishnah. V'Rav Shimi bar Ashi ovid kibraisa v'tanya ein omdim l'spala lo mitoch sicha v'lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalus rosh v'lo mitoch dvarim b'telim v'lo mitoch atzus v'lo mitoch atzus el mitoch simcha shomitz. There are two things that changed here. One is really trivial from our vantage point, but one is very significant. How is this different than our Gemara? I'll give you the trivia one. Our Gemara is Rav Ashi, this is Rav Shimi bar Ashi. Fine. What's the other much more structural significant difference? What Braisa is Rav Ashi or Rav Shimi bar Ashi followed? In our Gemara, which Braisa was Rav Ashi followed? Rabbanan Avdi Kimas Nisan Rav Ashi Avik Braisa. Which Braisa? So if you look in your Gemara, the Braisa that Rashi was, that Rav Ashi was following was the preceding Braisa. That Ein Omdim L'Spala Ela Mitoch Halacha Psuka, and the Gemara gave three examples. That's not how the Rif and follow him the Rush understand the Gemara. Rav Ashi is not talking about Halacha Psuka. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi is talking about what follows. Our Gemara finishes, it says, Rabbanan Avdi Kemasisan Rav Ashi Avik Kebraisa. Colon. New sentence. Tanu Rabbanan, a Braisa teaches. For the Rif, that is the Braisa that Rav Shimi bar Ashi was following. And then he continues, and this will be consistent with what the Gra'im ended. V'chein, where is it? V'chein ayipater adam echavero, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch kalaslosh, lo mitoch dvar metelu, lo mitoch dvar halacha. Shekein motzinu v'nevim harishonim sesimu estivreim, that fits perfectly. Zechain, Tani Mari Berei, the Ravuna Braid Ravim Rabba, Lo Yipater Adam. Now here, this is more difficult. This has a Bechain that the Gra takes out. And then he has the Gemara as the way we have. Okay. So this is, again, what you see is at least the first three steps in the Gemara, the Rif has the way the Vilna Gaon has, and that's how the two go together. Okay. Now I'm going to skip a little bit in the riff. Okay. Now I see it's Daf Kofamid Beis. That was my mistake. The riff says the following. V'garsinan v'perek mitzvah chalitza. This is the Gemara in Yavamos, Daf Kofamid Beis. And now I will quickly check. I'm sure that the Gemara there on Kofamid Beis. Get it? No, I'm wrong here. He doesn't bother to point you to the fact that the Riff only quotes in brachos, but often you do find it. Okay. So the Riff says, "Vegar sinan beperek mitzvah chalitza, Rabbi Yechiyah, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Havayasvi." They were sitting there learning. Nafik milsa mibenayim. One of them said something. Pasachad ba'amar hamispalot tzarich shi'itein einav lamata. One is supposed to be gazing downward. Shenemar v'hayu einay v'libi sham kol hayamim. Which is a very kind of an odd derivation, because whose eyes and whose heart is directed there forever? So this verse that the Gemara Yevamos cites is taken from God's promise to Shlomo HaMelech. This is Shlomo's tefillah when they built the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be a place of prayer. And God makes a promise to him and says, this is in Malachim Aleph Parakas, after Shlomo HaMelech's long tefillah, God promises that Kivayachol, if we can say such a thing, that his eyes and his heart will be directed there for eternity. So God will always be paying attention to Beis HaMikdash. So what's a little odd about it, and I don't think Rashi or Tosafot explain there, that this is not God, this is not the person's eyes or heart, it's God is looking towards the Beis HaMikdash. But somehow in the spirit of imitatio Dei, I guess, imitating God, our eyes are supposed to be looking downward. Pasach idach ba'amar, hamispalo tzarech shi'chaven eslibo lamala. One's heart should be directed heavenward. Now there's really not a debate here, because one is talking about the eyes, one is talking about the heart. Shenemar, nisalav avenu el kapayim el bashamayim. Our heart is directed upward. Dahachi Bahachi Asa Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosef Gabaya, while each busy presenting knows, Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosef walks in. Amar Lahu Bamayas Kisu, what are you talking about? Amar Lahu Bitfila, we're studying laws of Davin. Amar Lahu, he says to them, Kach Amar Abba. So said my father, his father was Rabbi Yosef. Hamispalo Tzara, Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosef's father, asking who his father was, like asking what color George Washington's horse was, white horse was. Kach Amar Abba, thus said my father, Hamispalo Tzara Sheyitain Eina Lamata, the libo lamala, kadeshi yisaimu shtei mikraos halom. In other words, my father observed that both of these together, and somehow, whatever it means for one's eyes to be looking upward, one's heart to be looking upward, one's eyes to be looking downward, that's what one is supposed to do. I confess to not knowing exactly what this means, because for us, the heart is an organ, not the seat of intellect. But for them, the heart represents sort of the heart is the central controller of the body. And therefore somehow the heart here might mean mind. Mind is directed upwards, eyes are directed downwards. Okay. Then I'm going to skip over the next line, which we're going to see in our Gemara. A few of these lines about, we'll see this hopefully later this morning. And the Riff is going to talk about adding things in tefillah as well, but I'm going to hold off on that as well until later in the parak. And then, what I would like to see is where the Riff now goes out of the Masechta. Those are the Gemaras, the Riff quotes in between, are all in our parak, but he organizes them here. A few of them are in our sugya itself on the bottom of our page, but some of them are later. But now he says, "Vegar sinan v'perek hamis." It's going back to the beginning of the Masechta. Omer Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, kol Omer tehila leDavid b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim, muftach lo shuven olam haba. Anyone who says Ashrei 3 times a day. Is assured that he will be a Ben Olam Haba. We spoke about this then. It's not a magical power of Ashrei, but what is most important about Ashrei, the Gemara says, is 2 features. Number one, the Aleph Beis, the acrostic, and number 2, the idea that Poseach HaSedecha Masbil HaChayretzon, that God sustains the entire universe. And a person who thinks in those terms is a person who will become a Ben Olam Haba. Now, when we say Ashrei 3 times, we say it once as part of Psukei DeZimra. We say once as part of Kedusha, the Sidra, which is Uvalatzion at the end, where we say Kedusha there. And then we say it once before Mincha, except for at least amongst Ashkenazim on Yom Kippur. We don't say it before Mincha on Yom Kippur. We say it before Ne'ilah. Okay. Now, Vigar Sinan Biperet Kol Kisvei HaKodesh. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rabbi Yosei, Yehei Chelki in Gomrei Halal B'chol Yom. My portion in the world, or in the world to come, should be with those who complete the Hallel every day. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that really true? The Amar Mar, did not the master teach, Hakore Hallel before Yom? Harezia Mechare Fumagade, one who recites the Hallel. And this would be either Hallel HaMitzri, what we call Hallel, or the Hallel HaGadol in Mizmor Kufla Midvav. Both of which speak about the miracles of God in history. One who reads that every day is a blasphemer. And some of the commentaries explain, because miracles, when we're going to commemorate the miracles of Pesach, if you do it every day, it kind of actually makes it meaningless. It's almost as if there is nothing special. There is nothing special that happened because we talk about it every day. So the praise of the unusual historical miracles, that's something that's only done in the appropriate occasions. What was Rabbi Yosef talking about? That is a wonderful thing to do every day, which is a midas chasidus. You're not obligated to. Ki ka amrinan, the psuke de zimra amrinan. I'm talking about psuke de zimra. Maini, what is psuke de zimra? So here, the way it's quoted is, mitahila le David, ad kol hanashama tahalel kol. So this is from the Mizmor, Kuf Mem He, till the end of Sefer Tehillim, which is basically Ashrei and all the Hallelujahs. Now, it's worth noting here, I'm not going to take the time to read it inside, but there is a commentary on the bottom of the Rush, if you have the Rush printed in your Gemara. It's called the Madana Yom Tov and the Devei Chamudos. The same person wrote both commentaries. It was Rav Yom Tov Lipton Heller, who lived, I think, in Prague or Vienna in something like the 17th century. He was a major. He was the head of the basin. I think it was in Prague, I think. And he wrote the most famously his commentary on the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yom. So he has a commentary there, and he quotes and quotes and quotes all the halachas. It's really interesting. He's really quoting from the Torah and the Beis Yosef and so on. So it's a really nice to pull stuff together. But I will note from the materials that he quotes a couple of notes of interest, which is, do we say only Mizmor Kuf Mem He through Kuf Nun when we say Ashrei? The answer is no, we don't. What does Mizmor Kuf Mem He begin with? What's the first words of first pasuk, first verse of the Mizmor of Ashrei? I'll give you a hint. It's not Ashrei Yoshrei Ve'Secho Yom Kasela. Ashrei begins with Tehillah LeDavid, which is the ascription, the koteret, and then Arumimcha, Aleph, because it's an acrostic. So we insert before Ashrei, and that's something that receives a fair amount of attention. It is discussed in the Rishon in this particular issue. We also do something odd at the end of the Mizmor. What do we do at the end of the Mizmor? What's the last verse in Ashrei? So people know this. Somebody's got to volunteer. What's the last verse in Ashrei? Nobody's going to volunteer. You're making me work.
Kol Anshama,
Yes. No. That's in the Sukkot Zimra. Ashrei, Mizmor Ashrei. What's the last pasuk? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's not Vanachnu Neverach Yom Ha'Avad Olam Hallelujah. That's the last verse in the third chapter of Hallel that we recite at the end of Mizmor Kuf Tezvav. Must be. That's where we have Vanachnu. It's at the end of Hashem Zecharanu Yivarech. That's where the verse originally appears. The last verse of Ashrei is the top. Period. For some reason, we add on the two verses at the beginning and one verse at the end. But putting that aside, the Rif here quotes from the Gemara that Psukei B'Zimra is from Tehillah LeDavid until Kol HaNeshama. And then he says, Takina Rabbanon Lemeimar Bracha Mikamayu. The Rabbanon instituted making a bracha before and after Psukei de Zimra. Umaynihu Baruch Sha'amar V'Yishtabach. You should know, by the way, the Gemara nowhere mentions the bracha Baruch Sha'amar V'Yishtabach in the context of Psukei de Zimra. In fact, Yishtabach exists in the Gemara because it may be Birchas Hashir, and some, in fact, do. We do recite this on Leil Pesach after Hallel. I think it's what most Ashkenazim do, is we say Yishtabach. Svardim say Melech Mulo Bat Yishpachos, which is the ending of Baruch Shomar, but it's not the actual Baruch of Baruch Shomar. But Baruch Shomar itself doesn't exist in the Gemara. Anyway, but there was a Takana, I should say, it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Nonetheless, there's a Takana made, to say Baruch Shomar Yishtabach, and therefore, a very important halacha, Hilchach Niboy Lele Inish Belo Ishtayuye, Michi Masu Babarach Shamar, Achim Sayim Lud Ishmanesa. Therefore, a person is not supposed to Ishtayuye, which means to talk. Once you start Barach Shamar, until you finish your Shmanesa, a person is not allowed to talk. Okay. Now, the Rift is not done. The Rift has one more halacha that he quotes from another place. Garcinan Besof Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rabbi Lazar, La'olam yasti adam est filasov achakach ispalo. Before you daven, you have to practice. Now, I know that if we have any bodily tefillah fiyam norayim, everybody knows that before you daven, you have to practice. But that's not what this is referring to. This is referring to your own private amida. So you're going to ask the question, what am I practicing for? Well, the answer is, this halacha was only really relevant before they had printed siddur. Once you have a printed sitter, so then you don't, not a concern to be misadat filasa because you're reading out of a sitter. But before they had written printed texts and written texts, and when tefillah was more free flowing, even though there were rules you had to follow as to which brachas you make and how you end the bracha, so if a person hadn't davened in a while, as we'll see in a second, they wouldn't be prepared to daven. Imagine having to daven bal peh. And you kind of know the Shmoneh Esrei, but you're maybe not perfect. So you better prepare beforehand. So that's what the Gemara means. And that's why Amar Rava Mistabra Milsid Rabbi Lazar, the brachos of Rosh Hashanah v'Shel Yom Kippur v'Shel Prachim. The brachos of the Amida of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Shel Prachim means things that come in frequently, which would certainly be the Regalim. Avo Shoshari Mos Hashanah Lotzar. The rest of the year you don't have to, because you dive in every day now. The kama who prakim, how far, what are tefillah shel prakim, mishlosha neom alahal. Things that are more than 30 days apart, so there you have to prepare your tefillah. The only ambiguous thing in this, Gemara is what is Rosh Chodesh? What is the stuff of Rosh Chodesh? Because Mustafa Rosh Chodesh and Yalav Yavo are every 30 days. So sometimes it's every 29 days, sometimes every 30. So what is being included in here, I'm not sure. So as I said, this particular halacha is really relevant when you don't daven out of a sitter. However, if you daven out of a sitter, you don't need to prepare for it because the text is actually in front. Okay. So this is the origin of Sukkei d'Zimra. And its purpose seems to be to prepare somebody, put them in the right frame of mind, so that they can actually daven. All right. Any questions so far? Okay. So, let's go back to the Gemara and just finish our little section. A Gemara that I confess I find to be somewhat enigmatic. I think when I first learned this Gemara in ninth grade, I don't think I understood it then, and I don't think I understand it now. So let's go back to just the second narrow to last narrow line where that little base of the gra is. Tana Mari Bar Braid the Rahuna Braid Rav Yimei Bar Abba. Are you Potter Adam Chavero El Mitoch Bar Halacha? Shemitokach Sof Rahim. A person should only take leave of his friend talking in Divrei Torah, giving a Bar Halacha, so that way he'll remember. He had the Rav Kahana Alvi Ale Roshimi Barashi. Mi pomnara ad beit zemisa ad baba. Rav Kahana accompanied Rav Shimi bar Ashi on his journey wherever he was going, up until those zemisa ad baba are these dekalim. There were these unusual date palms. Ki mata lahasam, when he reached that point where they were going to separate, Amar le, he said to him, I'm leaving out the next word. Vadai, the Amre Inchi, is it true? Vadai doesn't mean, Vadai means, is it certain? Is it true? The Amri Imshi, Hani Tanyasa the Babel, Ishname Adam Marisha Verhash. That these date palms have been here from the time of Adam. Amar Le, he said in response, Ad Kaitan Milsud Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. You reminded me of something that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina said, talking about things that have been there from the time of Adam Harisha. The Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, my dichsiv, ba'aretz asher lo avar ba'ish v'le yashav adam sham. Now, the shot in this pasuk, the whole pasuk, this is actually going to be next week's Torah, this coming Shabbat. God complains how the Jewish people have been unfaithful, and they didn't ask themselves, they didn't say themselves, where is the God, where is Hashem, who brought us up from Egypt, who took us through the desert in a land which was barren and empty, a land that was thirsty and dark, in a land, asher lo avar ba'ish v'le yashav adam sham, nobody passes through and nobody dwells there. That's the pshat in the pasuk. It's speaking about a land that is so desolate that nobody goes through there. So, how does Rav Yosef Rabbi Chinen interpret this? He says, v'chimei acher delo avar heich yashav. Why does the Navi have to say, in a land that nobody passed through and nobody dwells in? If nobody passes through it, how can anybody possibly dwell in it? Now, on a pshat level, that's not a question. But that's what Rav Yosef Rabbi Chinen has said. And alomar lecha kol eretz shegazar aleh adam arishon leyishav nisyashva, v'chol eretz shelo gazar aleh adam arishon leyishav lo nisyashva. In other words, if it's lo avar ba, it really, truth is, should have been, it's lo avar ba'ish, nobody passes through, but lo yashav adam sham, because Adam Arishon never went there, and therefore if Adam Arishon never went there, it will never be settled. Now, you know, this is kind of an odd Gemara. What does that mean? It's, firstly, I would argue it's more descriptive than prescriptive, because let's say you have a piece of land, that you're not sure where Adam Arishon went there or not. Or I should say, if you have a piece of land that you dwell in, obviously Adam Arishon must have walked through there, because otherwise nobody would be dwelling there. So it's not really prescriptive. It's kind of descriptive, something about human settlement, but I'm not really sure what exactly it means. If Adam Arishon did not pass through there, did not decree it to be settled, asher lo yashav Adam Sham, then it would never be settled. Nobody would pass through there. Okay. So it is certainly, let's put it this way. When you tell a person, before you take leave of them at Bar Halacha, you want to tell them something that they're going to remember. And I can say that this particular agada has stuck with me for almost, not quite, but approaching 40 years. It made an impression, because I didn't understand then, I don't understand now. So I remember Rabbi Yitzchak Kono, who was very high school. I remember him teaching me this, because even if he taught me nothing else, because this is such an interesting and unusual agada. The Gemara concludes by stating, Rav Mordechai Alvi and Erashim over Ashim and Hagronia of Adve Kipe of Amrilai Vedura. I think it's just talking about the importance of accompanying somebody. This is really not about our Gemara anymore. And it speaks about somebody else who accompanied Rashim and Barashi from place A until place B, and there are two versions as to what place B was. Okay. Are there any questions?
Rabbi, just a comment. So this is an example of someone teaching you something that reminds you of the friendship or the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be something exciting and interesting.
Well, that was my point. Right? In other words, if it's been some ordinary halacha, it went to, or agada, right? It's not even a halacha. It might not have made the same impression. I might not remember that I learned it. I might not remember who taught it. But I remember learning brachos and this particular Gemara. It's sort of like, what? So, you know, it reminds me a little bit of a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus talks about two Amoraim. They were, I think the Gemara is on something about Zion on the days, where someone asks the other person a question, and he's chewing food, and he says, I can't, you have to wait to answer until you swallow. And the catch was, of course, now I can never find it when I'm looking for it. And what happens is that the person who was actually asking the question was the one who's talking, the way the Torah Tamim explains it. And when he finally, the person says something to him, meaning the person who was now responding to the person who had his mouth full when he was asking to hear something, you would think, you know, when I'm chewing, I can listen. I can't talk when I chew. So he told them two very strange agadas. First, he told them Yaakov Avinu lo nes, and he quotes a pasuk in Nevi'im. And then he told them another even bizarre gemara that kala omer Rachav Rachav, anyone who mentions the name of Rachav Azona, miyad nikvi. Immediately he'll be so, if so erotic and experienced, he will experience a seminal emission. So then one of the Amoraim says, didn't happen to me. The Gemara says, no, biyodo v'makira, someone who knew Rachav Azona, mere mention of a name would conjure up this eroticism. And Yaakov Avinu didn't die. What? What are these Haggadahs talking about? So that I believe the Torah Tanima writes that he purposely told them these outrageous Haggadahs to teach him that it's not necessary that the person who's talking with food in their mouth knows to be careful, but the person who's just listening, someone tells you a bombshell, it's like, and you joke. Anyway, so I'm kind of reminded of that, the Torah Tanima's interpretation. The Haggadah is so unusual that it's hard to forget it. It really makes an impression. Okay. Any other questions?
So every Haftorah does not end on a sour note, except the Haftorah of Parshas Vayeshev, because that was the brothers and Yosef still hadn't resolved their issues. Is that my remembering correctly or incorrectly?
Vayeshev, I'm trying to know the Haftorah, I don't know what the ending is. It's on the front by Kesef Tzadik, Bavion Babur Nalayim. What is the ending? What's the end of Vayeshev?
Or
and it would
be,
always.
Yeah, I heard that somebody say that.
Well, is that actually true? I want to know. What is the end of Vayeshev? It's Amos. But I don't remember what the last Gimel class. I don't think so. Milo Yinaveh, I think, is the ending. I'll check.
So then it's
that Ahura is the one of the brothers, and it ends, Ayesha Agbilo Yirash, Shemel Kimbiber, Milo Yinavet. That doesn't sound so bad. And So that, in other words, that is not Torah about Mechiras Yosef, because that's how they like to read, Al Shoshat Tishay Yisrael Barbal Shivenu, Amechron Bakeset Sadiq Vavim Babar Nalayim. That's where, in the Asarug and Alpha Sayyim Kippur, we get the idea that they sold Yosef, for a pair of shoes. I think is the expression. So I don't want to tell you there's no haftarah anywhere, but we really do go out of our way to avoid a negative ending. So Larry, if you find that place, please bring it to my attention.
So today, when we depart from somebody, is that principle still valid? We should depart with a point of halacha or simcha?
Some element of Torah really is what it is.
Uh-huh.
It's an element of Torah. In other words, the Gemara cites what's an Agadah, not really a halacha. But the point is that you should teach them Torah, give them a piece of Torah, tell them a word. That would be the right way to depart. I'm not saying, by the way, that I do this appropriately, but that in fact would seem to be the correct thing. Now, what I will say, quickly scanning, because I did look up all of the tziyunim, all the notations, the Amish Putner Mitzvah before, when I was preparing Shir. And now I'm looking, double-checking. There is no tzion anywhere to Shulchan Aruch here. In other words, it's regarded more as hortatory or agadic than a halachic obligation.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change the fact that it would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The place I have to check, which I obviously didn't, because it hadn't registered with me. I wasn't looking for the Gemara. I just went down in Mishpat notes one by one and looked up the Sifim in Shulchan Aruch. It would be interesting to see if the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, in Orach Chaim, when he collects all the dinim that the Shulchan Aruch left out, he v'haftalech halacha avos ager, iser v'nekama, etc. All these, most of them by the Chaver's Lashon Hara, I'd be curious to see if he cites this particular passage.
So
when a person is nitam echavero, it should be mitoch, you know, dvar halacha or dvar Torah. Okay.